story to me here is obviously with Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy didn't practice yesterday. Apparently he threw soft little throws, 10 yards, maybe 5 yards. He walked off the field and didn't finish practice. And the quarterback usually talks on Thursday. He didn't talk yesterday to the media. So they pushed that back to today. And it could be Brandon Allen's season. But the big story to me is Brock's shoulder and Brock not playing in this monstrous game. I mean, obviously, the Niners are desperate to win this football game. That, to me, is a story. What is going on with Brock Purdy's shoulder?
B, this is not good. Anybody who says they're confident in whether it's Brandon Allen or whether it's Josh Dobbs, like, what are we basing that confidence on? Come on. Like, we know that Brock is the best quarterback on this team, right? And so, man, this is a big one. This is a big one. And if it's the shoulder, you know, when did he hurt it? How long has it been hurting? What did Cam Inman say yesterday? He hasn't thrown a pass over 25 yards.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For 3+ weeks?
That was 2 weeks. Did you say 2 weeks? Could be 3 weeks, but that's not good. No wonder there's been no go routes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
You can't play like that.
And I'm seeing a lot of people try to go down the rabbit hole of when did the injury happen? Well, there was a scramble in the middle of the field where he got laid pretty hard on the right shoulder. Alex Smith, you know, when he hurt his shoulder, he got plowed into the ground on a play like that where you basically get your shoulder jammed into the ground. That's not good. Jimmy Garoppolo, we know, hurt his shoulder, and that really did him in. I mean, that changed Jimmy physically and kind of torpedoed their offense in the end of that playoff run. Was it 2021, mm-hmm. I believe? So this is a big injury. And I don't think Brock is quote-unquote injury prone. I think it's a little too premature to say that. But a couple years ago, he steps in week 13. 2 weeks later, he hurts his ribs, doesn't practice all week.
He plays
in that Thursday night game, plays well in that game. That same season, has a major elbow injury. And I know he doesn't miss any quote-unquote time during the regular season, but he was out months. Got a concussion in week 7 last year. And now this, he is a smaller player. He runs around a lot. Like, he's got to protect himself. This is natural, though, because it's the NFL. Guys get hurt. I'm not saying he's injury prone, but I'm also not saying he's not injury prone. I'll listen to the conversation. Well, how long does this last?
It'll make you change how you feel about him long term. There's no doubt about it.
Really?
Absolutely. You have to be durable at the quarterback position. And what, you know, you could say about Jimmy, and I'm not saying that Brock Purdy's not a better thrower of football than Jimmy Garoppolo, but injuries did end Jimmy. Injuries doing quarterbacks. Injuries doing any other player.
Yeah.
And so Purdy, and there's a lot of question marks. Kyle Shanahan says he's played great. Greg Cosell says he hasn't. The numbers are down, but also guys around him are hurt. Guys are not playing. There's a lot of baked into this, and so are the Niners wavering on whether or not he's a long-term quarterback? I have no idea. I have no idea. But here's what Cam Inman said yesterday on the Morning Rose about Brock Purdy's shoulder, and I want to take it from here.
Shoulder sprain or whatever it is happened from a hit on Sunday, but Brock has not aired it out much over the last couple of weeks. He has not thrown a pass over 20 yards, I think, the last two games, and he hasn't thrown one over 25 yards since week 4. So it's like, what's going on? Are the receivers not getting open downfield? Does he not have time to do it? You know, I don't suspect that there's a more serious injury to it. Let me put it that way, because if you go back, I think, what, 3 years ago, Jimmy Garoppolo hurt his shoulder against the Cowboys and then gutted through it. And they're like, their next two playoff games obviously didn't do great. So I don't think it's anything too serious. But at the same time, anytime it's a quarterback and an arm is involved, it's cause for concern.
Cause for concern. He's not the biggest guy in the room, doesn't have the biggest arm in the room. And I got to play this, Shasky, for you, because it is worrisome. You're going to the Tundra, and he may not play. And your season's basically on the line. And we'll get to the ramifications of a loss this week, next week, the rest of the season, missing the playoffs, because there will be ramifications. Yeah. I think whether or not the Niners, say if the Niners went on a run, I still think there's going to be some roster reshuffling in the offseason. Is this where the Niners are with the salary cap, with some of their players, whether or not they're getting long in the tooth? There's going to be roster reshuffling whether they go to the playoffs or not. That's just my opinion. But I want to go back to something, and it maybe this is a disease of mine, because I remember things that people say, whether they're 6 months ago, 12 months ago, 3 years ago, it doesn't matter. It's probably a disease of mine. It's not good. But Shanahan joined Tim Kawakami a day before training camp. And it's about a minute 23 long, and I want you to respond to it, Shasky. I'm going to play it, and I want you to respond to this. And what? Because in real time, my eyes lit up saying, oh, Shanahan's planting the seed. I want to get your opinion now that we're 4 months later after this quote. July 23rd, Tim Kawakami podcast, Shanahan on the quarterback market getting crazy.
I mean, I think because of where the market's gone with the quarterback position, it's just the dollars, I guess that's kind of crazy. Those numbers, it's kind of like when I look at the real estate out here and how much houses cost, I didn't believe it at first because it's just there's so much. And then when you get out here and you, as long as it's, you can resell it and stuff, it's all relative. So it's whatever, but the numbers overwhelm you. So I get all that. But me, as a coaching standpoint, I think about obviously how you fit into a salary cap, where it is going, but I don't get caught up on how much money that is. I get caught up on, well, that's how much a starting quarterback costs within the realm of it. I mean, but this is the market on how much a starting quarterback costs. This is how much a starting receiver costs. This is how much a starting tackle costs. This is how much a starting defensive end costs. And you start to see all that, and how do you want to balance out your team? What are the choices you get? And that's what you got to figure out. But are you happy with someone as your starting quarterback? If you are you happy with him as a rookie? Are you happy on a rookie contract? Great. Are you happy with him when you got to pay him? Well, how do you compare him to everyone else? He's a starting quarterback in this league. Well, what does that cost? And then you look at it, and that's kind of where I keep it. I don't try to say that's so much more than it used to be. I try to look at it as that's just the market. Now you got to figure it from an organizational standpoint, the cash, all that stuff, which is a huge deal. And that's why I listen to those conversations. I get involved in those conversations, but I also know that is not my area of expertise.
What does all that mean to you when you hear that from Shanahan? And it's a lot there. He's talking about the quarterback market, and you know, the quarterback market is quarterback market. But what is your big takeaway from that?
Well, there's a lot. Like my mind starts going kind of crazy. Let's start at the top. Howie Roseman, who runs Philadelphia, whatever you believe of him as a GM, I think he's really smart. I don't think he's perfect. I don't think any GM's perfect. He says a very simple thing. Every team in the NFL starts with the exact same amount of money and the exact same amount of draft picks every year. It's equal. It's how you disperse the money and how you utilize the picks. And I agree 1,000%. It's literally inarguable. So his point about, you know, this is what a starter costs here and there. Forget quarterback for a second. Let's look at their offensive line. They've invested in the left tackle. They're paying him a lot of money. They've never really spent a lot of money on their centers. They did one time many, many years ago. And since then, they go, we're going to go journeyman. Okay.
Western Richburg.
If we have, let's say, 100% is what we're going to spend, you know, of this pie on our linemen, we're going to give Trent 80% of it. And then we're going to draft Banks, and he's going to make very little. We're going to get Jake Brendel, who's going to be dirt cheap. We're going to draft Pooney, and he makes very little. And then we're going to have Colt McKivitz, and we're going to try to get away with it. And we're going to say, hey, now we're going to take whatever's left over of that money, and now we could spend it on our premium playmakers at wide receiver or at tight end. So what his point is the juice worth the squeeze when it comes to the money? And I think that's the only way to evaluate your roster. I love the money, and I love like talking about how the money is spent. Look at how they've spent money on defensive line, and it really hasn't been worth it. Like, it just hasn't. And then I look at, you know, what they've done at the playmaker position this year. You gave a lot of money to the running back. He hasn't played a lot. They gave a lot of money to Debo. He hasn't played well. They gave a lot of money to Ayuk. He got hurt, right? And then you gave money to Juwan Jennings. Not as much as those guys, but he is making the most of any third string wide receiver in the league. He's been amazing. So it is about bang for the buck. And now I go to the quarterback and I say to myself, boy, there was a point in time when Jed York came out, Bonte, and said, we'll have the most expensive quarterback room year after year after year if that's what Kyle wants. When he was talking about, we'll keep Jimmy and have Trey and pay for them both if we have to. Well, we kind of found out pretty quickly, Kyle's going to do what Kyle wants to do. Regardless of what the owner might say publicly, Kyle's going to do what Kyle wants to do. He pivoted.
So what do you think Kyle said when Jed York came out and said that the quarterback's going to reset the quarterback market in Brock Purdy?
I think,
because I bet you if we ask Niner fans today, 888-957-9570, is Brock Purdy worth resetting the quarterback for? When you have the injuries that he has, and is he that guy? I think there's a lot of people who would grow to be weary of giving Brock Purdy $55 to $60 million per season.
I think I'm one of them. I'm becoming one of them. And I'm trying to be as unemotional about this as possible. It's hard not to be because I root for the team. What does Kyle Shanahan think when Jed says that? Probably like, yeah, we felt that way at that time, but things change. That's the Kyle Shanahan MO. Things are constantly changing. I just did an evaluation this year on Brock Purdy. Let's just go very simple. I don't want to dive into the numbers and just the eyeball. And you could tell me what you think. I had him playing a good game against the Jets. I had a bad game against the Vikings. I had a really good game against the Rams. I had a good game against the Patriots. I had a bad game against the Cardinals. Against the Seahawks, I had a good game. Against the Chiefs, I thought it was a bad game. I got a good game against the Cowboys, a great game against the Bucks, and a bad game against the Seahawks again. So good to great, you got 6 performances. Bad, I got 4. That doesn't scream $60 million quarterback to me.
Yeah, but does it scream, my playmakers are letting me down. My running backs are letting me down. My offensive line is letting me down. My head coach is letting me down with some questionable play calling in certain situations. And situational football hasn't been the greatest. Is that all on Purdy?
No, but at the same time, when I pay someone that amount of money, there's a reason why Baltimore negotiated with a multi-time MVP who had a lack of weapons in many of his seasons in Lamar Jackson. And they went down to the wire.
Which was, in real time, just how dumb do teams feel about now about not going after Lamar Jackson?
But Bonte, to be fair,
unbelievable.
No, I agree with that. But if you're Baltimore, isn't that good business? Because now you can squeeze other players and you can get yourself a Derrick Henry and you can get this. Like, I know we want to give everyone the bag in life.
Not everybody deserves a bag.
Exactly.
Not everybody deserves a bag.
And I'm not saying Brock doesn't deserve to get a huge pay increase.
But part of his struggles, you could correlate it to some of the playmakers not making plays.
There's no doubt. But guess what, Bonte? You know what's going to happen when you're making $55 million quarterback?
Oh, you're going to get all the heat. There's no doubt.
And I can't afford premium players, and I'm going to have to bid adieu to really good players. And so when you see what Kansas City has done over the last couple of years resetting their roster, when you see what Buffalo's done resetting their roster around the expensive quarterback, hey, it can be hit and miss with these draft picks. And you're not going to get $30 million playmakers on the outside with a $20 million tight end and a $20 million running back. So that's the life of a $60 million quarterback. And I think that this is the financial puzzle that the Niners are trying to figure out right now.
So we're going to see a quarterback in Jordan Love this week who's getting 4 years and $222 million or whatnot. We'll talk to Bill Schmidt about the deal.
A lot of money.
And would you say that Brock Purdy maybe has had a better season than Jordan Love, despite Jordan Love having a better record?
Yeah, and he also has missed multiple games. Yeah. And so, yeah, I would say Brock's had a better year than him.
And so their quarterback in Jordan Love has been a lot more injury prone than Brock Purdy has.
In his early stints,
in his early stages,
and I would say that Brock has a body of work that's more comprehensive than Jordan Love's.
And I will also say Jordan Love can get reckless with the football.
Absolutely,
he will turn that thing over. He's tied for the league lead in interceptions with 11. I've seen him be careless with the football. I've got him in fantasy football, so I take a little more keen eye. And I like Jordan Love. We had the conversation during the playoffs. Moving forward, who would you rather have, Jordan Love and Brock Purdy? And I believe I said Jordan Love because I believe the prospects and the size of quarterback and staying on the football field. I don't know how good Brock is. I don't. I think he's really good, but how good? I don't know if he's $60 million a year good. I don't know. Where does Kyle land in this equation? So when you think about the Green Bay game on Sunday, and it's a must-win game, and Brennan Allen is in line to start the game. He hasn't started a game in 3 years. He's 2-7-9 NFL starts, but hey, he backed up Joe Burrow. Maybe that will help him. Learning from Joe Burrow Zach Taylor.
It's the most absurd sentence I've ever heard.
I also had this thought coming in. I had this thought last night. What if Brennan Allen starts on Sunday? And what if the Niners go out there and score 30 points and look good? Does Shanahan get more credit?
That's a great question.
Because all of a sudden, what if Brennan Allen looks, it's like, wow, 23 of 29.
Well, you know what the question
280.
You know what the question is then? Can you do it in Buffalo? Oh. Right? Like, when I look at the great players in the NFL, being great one time is not the barometer. The barometer is great a lot. You know, over and over and over and over again. But your point is well taken, and this is what I would say. People would say, wow, that was impressive. Let's see it again.
Have we had a great, outside of Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, Joe Burrow's been great, but they don't win games. They can't finish. And Joe Burrow was off in the latter half of the fourth quarter. He missed Jamar Chase deep twice. There hasn't been a lot of great quarterback play this season. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
When you look at the league, as a whole, Mahomes hasn't even been great.
No.
The great Lamar and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow have been the three best quarterbacks, in my opinion. And Herbert's starting to ascend.
Yes.
I give Herbert credit.
Yes.
He's starting to ascend here.
Yeah.
But other than that, Jared Goff's been good, but he had the five interception good.
Yeah, but
he's been pretty good. I'll give him that credit.
He's been pretty good.
I'll give him that credit. But other than that,
I would agree.
It's quarterback position has led a lot of people down.
But I think there are other guys that, like, we give the benefit of the doubt rightfully because of what they've accomplished. Matt Stafford's a great example. Mm-hmm. I think we saw Matt Stafford firsthand, Niner fans, and it's like, yeah, he's a really, really good player. You know, and things around him aren't that great. And yet, you fear him. You scare him. You know, I saw, and I don't think it's this simplistic, but I saw somebody put out, like, hey, if I'm going to give you $60 million, can we just go four wide for three quarters straight and throw the ball? And you just carry us?
Right. Can Brock Purdy do that? Do you believe Brock
Purdy
can do that?
How many guys in the league can you do that with?
Burrow could do it.
Okay.
Allen could do it.
Okay.
Mahomes, if he has weapons, could do it.
Uh-huh.
We know it. Herbert's starting to do it.
Okay.
Lamar, don't matter. He got two tight end, two wide receivers.
I trust Lamar to do whatever.
Lamar's going to do whatever he's going to do.
His questions are, they're like playoff related.
You know what? Bo Nix is playing well.
You can't do that with Bo Nix yet.
I won't do it with Bo Nix yet, but I am starting him in a monster. Hey, I've got a monster fantasy matchup, and I got Bo Nix, Courtland Sutton, Javonte Williams. I got everybody going against the Raiders. It's all in on the Denver Broncos.
So you're all in on Sean Payton.
It's all in on, no, I'm so all in on those guys, not Sean Payton. I like Sean Payton.
Broncos have never won in Las Vegas, so there you go.
First time for everything.
Wow.
This is the week. This is the week. You know
what's going on? The curse of Elvis.
They got to win it for AP.
Bonte, if they lose this game, I wrote down some fallouts, just things to think about.
Listen, I don't think it matters if they lose this game.